Welcome to the Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. Larry is the author of over 40 books, the founder of Dove International, a worldwide family of churches and ministries in six continents, and has over 50 years of leadership experience. He and his guests will share inspirational leadership insights from their journey with God. These insights, gleaned from serving leaders in many nations, will transform your life and leadership. For more information on Larry's books and resources, visit LarryKreider.com.
Welcome to the Larry Kreider Leadership Podcast. Great to have you back. And in the studio again with me today, my favorite person in the whole world, Laverne Kreider. Welcome.
I'm glad I'm your favorite person.
Yeah, you are and always will be.
It's good to be here with you.
It's great to have you here. And if you're just joining us for the first time, this is the second in a series of what we call Passing the 21 Tests of Leadership. We had a great time last week talking about just how God allows tests, places tests in our lives, because He loves us. He's a good Father. And then we talked about the test of our calling, how we know we're walking out the calling that God has placed in our lives. Anything that stood out to you?
We want this to be an impartation, not
exactly.
Just something here in our heads,
yeah.
Or this is the method to do it, but an
right.
Impartation. That we're on a journey and the Father is at work mm-hmm. in our lives, always at work in our lives.
Yeah.
And that when we go through this test, He's an incredible Redeemer and mm-hmm. he's at work in our lives, step by step.
Yeah, exactly.
And, it's a place of deep surrender for yeah. all of us, isn't it?
It is. And speaking of surrender, today we talk about the test of humility. Someone once said, effective leaders give credit to others. And I think that's the first step towards humility, obviously. And the Bible says in 1 Peter 5, verse 5 and 6, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another because God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And the next scripture says, verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in time.
You know, I love that scripture because when you think of humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God,
yeah.
there's a sense that He's covering us.
And then
to exalt us in due time, there's a sense of that he's underneath this also.
Right.
And that there's such a sense of protection in that.
Love it.
As we walk in this place of humility. And then that's the next scripture says, cast your care upon the Lord. So when we see, when we walk in that place of humility, mm-hmm. you know, well, grace comes in, doesn't it?
Right,
grace.
Exactly.
And
He gives grace to the humble.
Grace. He gives
yeah.
divine power to us to move ahead, to hear Him. And so He's covering us and He's underneath us. And that gives us freedom to we don't have to worry. You know, there
yeah.
is a picture in an incredible place, doesn't
yeah.
it?
We've often said that if we do God's job, then He'll do our job. In other words, if we do God's job, if we rather humble ourselves, we exalt ourselves, then He will have to humble us. If we humble
he'll
ourselves,
work in us, won't
yeah,
he? Yeah.
He will, with love and with grace,
yeah.
but He'll do that. And as we walk in humility, then the Lord makes it clear that He will give us grace, divine favor, you know, the freedom to do the things He's called us to do. It's wonderful.
So good.
Yeah. So I'm going to, I think, open up. Let's just explain this scripture. In the Greek, clothe literally means to attach a piece of clothing to oneself. So in New Testament times, the slaves, for example, attached a white piece of cloth to the clothing so others would know that they were slaves. So Peter exhorts us to tie the cloth of humility on ourselves in order to be identified as believers in Jesus as we walk in humility toward others. And in this way, then, we receive God's grace.
Grace comes, yes.
Now, I wish we would have always done that, but we learned some of these things the hard way. And I'm going to tell an embarrassing story. I did this. I had tons of pride in my life. We were young pastors, and after the first year, God began to bless our church, and we soon were growing 300 people a year, and churches over 1,000 people, and I thought, this is amazing. God's blessing us. We're doing something right. You know, you're young and you don't know, and just walking humility. We didn't have a walking humility. At least I didn't. You had more humility in your life
yeah.
than I did.
And some of it comes from insecurities and all
exactly.
kinds of stuff. Or we walk in false humility. And,
yeah, yeah, exactly. So we're at a pastor's conference in North Carolina. I mean, we took two couples with us. There's the six of us. And there's probably 1,000 people at the conference. And in between sessions, like for lunch and an evening meal, we sit in a big cafeteria, meet new people and new pastors from all over the nation. And every time we did that, we sit for lunch, we'd meet with a pastor couple from somewhere, and they would tell us the hard time they're having in their church. And then we meet that evening with somebody else, just meeting new people, and they talked about the hard time they're having. And this happened 2, 3, 4, 5 times. And so I remember near the end of the conference, I told our team, I said, let's go back and talk about what we're learning. And I said, well, first of all, I want to share with you, we sat back in a room.
Yes.
I said, first of all, I want to share with you that, you know, there's a lot of issues here we see a lot of people dealing with. And in light of that, I think we need to understand God has taught us to pray, which is true. And we did pray, and we continue to pray as God led us to pray, all night prayer meetings and round-the-clock prayer, whatever. And I said, you know, I really believe if some of these other couples would pray like we pray, they wouldn't be having any of the same problems. Well, that was pride in our praying. And a couple years later then, we went through some difficult times. We had people in our time in the church. And
we had a wall, didn't we? Yeah.
Exactly. And we went through the same thing. And I remember back in that experience and thought, I had so much pride in my life. And we said we had to repent of the pride in our lives. A.W. Tozer said this one time. He said, he wrote this article. It's called Humility, True and False. And here's what he said. I have met two classes of Christians. The proud, who imagine that they're humble, and the humble, who are afraid that they're proud. He said, there should be another class, the self-forgetful, who leave the whole thing in the hands of Christ and refuse to waste any time trying to make themselves good. They'll reach the goal far ahead of the rest of us. And I think it's so true.
That's the bottom line. It is a place of just surrendering, and not my will, but your will be done.
Exactly.
And that takes us into that place of humility, even though there is a choice, you know,
right.
We clothe ourselves, but
right.
So much of it is a place of where we surrender to His purposes and
exactly.
to His love. And
you only learn that by life. You only learn that by walking through it. I mean, you know, we got to be careful. We're not proud of our humility. That's the other side of it, obviously. But humility is such a big deal, because humility basically is saying, without Jesus, I can't do anything.
That's it. It's like, that it's a, he's the vine, we're the branches,
right.
We remain in Him,
yeah.
He remains in us, and in that place mm-hmm. we bear fruit, but it's because we can do nothing without Him.
That's
incredible place of surrender, you know.
But obviously then with Him we can do all things.
I love the scripture that the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 57:14. He said, this is the Lord saying, he said, I live in that high and holy place.
Yeah.
And we know He is lifted up, He is high and holy, but He lives in that place with those whose spirits are contrite and humble.
Mm.
Isn't that amazing?
Mm.
He's looking for people mm. who are saying, I can do nothing without You, Lord.
Mm.
And then He lives in that place. He goes, I refresh the humble and I give new courage to those with repentant hearts.
Wow.
And I really love that. And it's a real sense of staying in that place of, I can do nothing without You, mm-hmm. Lord. Not a little. I can do nothing. And
yeah.
So I'm totally surrendered that Christ lives in me, Christ working through me,
mm-hmm.
and keeps in that place of humility.
Exactly. I think as we get, the older you get, the more this becomes real. And we look back in our lives, we realize any good thing God ever did, it was not because of us, it was because of Him. Yes, we're obedient to Him. Yes, we make right decisions. But it's really because of His grace. And that's how we can walk in the humility He's called us to walk in.
So true.
Yes. I love stories of from the past. You know, I've read so many books by people like D.L. Moody and great revivalists over the years, like Finney, et cetera, et cetera. But I remember reading one time about the Salvation Army.
William Booth.
And
his
Catherine.
Wife, Catherine. They were powerful.
What I loved is the way they worked together.
They worked together.
He always honored women. That's what I loved about one of the main things I loved about him.
Cool.
And he loved helping the poor at the same time, but he's very clear about his salvation message. But the article I read said in 1878, when William Booth's Salvation Army was beginning to make its mark, men and women from all over the world began to enlist. One man, who had once dreamed of becoming a bishop, because as he understood in those days, crossed the Atlantic Ocean from America to England to enlist. His name was Samuel Brengle. He left a fine pastorate to join Booth's army. But at first, General Booth accepted his services reluctantly and a bit grudgingly. Booth said to Brengle, you've been your own boss too long. And in order to instill humility in Brengle, he set him up to work cleaning the boots of other trainees. He was so discouraged, but he said to himself, have I followed my own fancy across the Atlantic in order to blacken boots? And then, as in a vision, he saw Jesus bending over the feet of rough, unlettered fishermen. "Lord," he whispered, "you wash their feet. I'll blacken their shoes."
Oh, it's awesome.
Isn't it awesome? Yeah. Oh, I just love that. You know, Jesus contrasted himself with the religious leaders of the day because of humility. You know, and he said in 11:29, book of Matthew, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." And then what did he say? "I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls."
I love that, because he didn't just say, "Okay, here's a method, 1, 2, 3. Right. He said, "Just learn of me, because I am gentle and humble of heart."
Yeah, yeah.
And when we learn of him in that place of surrender, then his life starts flowing through us.
Exactly.
And we start releasing cares and burdens.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, a test of leadership I find often is to ask ourselves, who am I as a person?
Yes.
Am I walking in gentleness? Yeah. Am I walking in humility?
That is really good.
Or am I dominating?
Yeah.
And am I proud? So we can ask ourselves these. Because what happens is, pride, I find, gives a leader an exaggerated sense of his own importance. I mean, again, it's all Jesus.
And that's when, even with, we were talking about a calling last time.
Right.
You get enamored by the calling. You get enamored by this or that.
Yeah.
Instead of being enamored by Christ and Christ alone.
Right.
From that place. And in that same vein, I love what Floyd McClung said. Mm. Many, many years ago, I think I read one of his books. He said, "At the heart of humility is honesty." Knowing who you really are, and you mentioned that,
right?
And admitting it honestly is humility, instead of trying to be something we're not or comparing ourselves with other people,
right?
And always wishing we were something. It's just, this is who I am. Pride can only develop in the heart of someone who refuses to be honest with themselves.
That's good.
I think that's just such a key, that we learn to be honest, because it is Christ living in us and through us. We'll never be good enough. It's because of grace. It's because of the cross that we can come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and grace to help in time of need. And that place of this is who I am. I've always, you know, I do some teaching, and I've always felt inadequate about teaching, because I'm just like, I wish I could be, you know, do this. I wish I profound this and profound that. I'd compare myself.
Right.
And you know, when I was honest with, like, no, this is how God's wired me. I'm a relational person. I'm a very simple person. And I'm an inspirational.
Right.
And I'm not like this profound theologian, you know.
And you don't need to be because God didn't call you to be.
And when I was honest with myself, I just came into a place of humility. And I think there's a proverb that says, humility comes before honor, you know. And so there's that. It is an incredible place to be, you know.
Yeah.
And especially when we know that God resists pride in our lives.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly. I think often we learn to walk in humility by submitting to authority. And I ask leaders all over the world, you know, who you have in your life who can fire you? You know, who you have in your life who can really...
Who you're accountable to.
Who you're accountable to. Where's the authority in your life? Because if we walk with an understanding of submitting to authority, we will learn to walk in humility. I find people would say, well, it's just God. I don't want to be part of something they're doing, because they're not walking in humility. And they want to have grace from God to do what they feel like God's called them to do. And I feel like often when there's division, many times division, it's just a lack of humility, you know. In James chapter 3, just want to turn to that just for a minute. In James chapter 3, the Bible makes it clear how we handle, you know, how do we know whether or not, even as Christians, whether or not we're walking in humility, or whether or not we have God on our side, or whether or not we're walking with the wrong spirit. And James 3:17 says, "For the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere." That's the wisdom from above. But, he says in verse 14, "If you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom," quote unquote, "does not come down from heaven, but is earthly and unspiritual and of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice." And
that's powerful.
It is very powerful. And in the kingdom of God, often we think we actually have the right theology, and we need good theology. But are we walking through the grid of purity, of that which comes from heaven, the wisdom from heaven? I've been in too many board meetings. I've been in too many leadership meetings over the years where it was demonic, because we didn't come from the heart of humility before the Lord.
That That scripture has really helped us a lot over the years when we're not sure about something, or we're, you know, something happens, or even things in the body of Christ. It's kind of like, well, where is that? Or things come against you, your critics come against you, and we're like, is this coming from a place of pure and peaceful, reasonable, you know? Yeah. And that has really helped me. And it's not always easy to get to that point, but it really is a great test, a grid to say, oh, this is not coming from the purity of Christ.
Right. So true humility is an attitude of the heart that's constantly acknowledging this truth: without Jesus, we can do nothing.
Yes.
I've been so blessed to meet with leaders around the world who walk in great humility. I remember many years ago, I was speaking at Christ Church New Zealand, and I couldn't wait to meet the leader there, because he was starting churches throughout New Zealand and known throughout the world, just as a major man of God. And I was so honored. I was asked to speak on a Sunday night at his church, but I really wanted to talk to him. I remember meeting him in a little coffee bar before the service. He said, now, we're going to meet here afterward. He said, we're going to get some time to talk. This is going to be wonderful. He's an amazing man of God. How's God using him? And I remember after the service, I met in the coffee bar. And before I get my first question, he said, now, I want to ask you some questions. He said, instead of asking me questions, I was just a young kid.
He cared. It wasn't just about him.
It wasn't about him. Yeah. Interesting. You talk to some people, it's all about them. All they talk about is themselves. And that's the opposite, obviously, of humility, that's pride. Yeah. And God resists the proud, give grace to the humble. But I learned from that man in New Zealand, I learned the importance of humility. Because he was simply there, I want to learn, I haven't arrived. And that's what the kingdom of God is all about.
And that's the case, isn't it?
It is.
We never arrive. And if we think we've arrived, then we're in trouble.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Well, I'm going to close with a quote by Rick Warren. Rick Warren says this: humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. I think that's great advice.
And keeping our eyes on Jesus.
Exactly. Yeah. May God give us all grace to walk in humility. Yeah. As we do, He will give us much grace to do all He's called us to do and be. Well, thank you for joining us today on this podcast as we look at the second test of leadership, the test of humility. And check out the show notes. The heart of this comes from the book, Passing the 21 Tests of Leadership, available on Amazon, your local bookstore, or again online. And on the show notes. So God bless you. We'll be back next week with number 3. We're looking forward to this series, and we're looking forward to having you join us week after week for this series. Laverne, anything else you want to say?
Nope, that's it. We'll see you later.
We'll see you next week. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. If you want more information about any of Larry's books, daily devotionals, small group resources, or any other teachings, go to LarryKreider.com.